Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here, so much more importantly, filmmaker. He won his first Emmy at 16 years old. He's won multiple Emmys and so many different awards. Really a brilliant talent. I'm thrilled to have him. His latest is called The Untold Story, and we're going to get into that. And recently, you could still see it on Showtime on demand, but Mistrust premiered on Showtime with Jane Seymour. Shane Stanley is our very special guest. Shane, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, listen, thrilled to have you. It's always good to talk to someone who knows what they're doing, but it's really nice to talk to somebody who's done it so well for so many years and is still a young guy. So, listen, congratulations on all the success.
Well, thank you, Frank. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, let me ask you about The Untold Story. You know, it's everyone's raving about it that knows about it, and I know it. It hasn't officially been released yet, but it's about to, right? What's going on with it?
Well, The Untold Story came out in, it started in its limited trickle out last Friday, and in Los Angeles, I believe Oregon, Albuquerque, and Buffalo. And I know they're going to continue rolling it out over the next few weeks in limited markets. I believe Florida, Palm Springs, some parts in the Midwest as well. I'm still waiting to hear, but they're going to, it's kind of a slow, limited theatrical rollout before they prep to do the cable TV and VOD release as well.
You know, you know, as I mentioned in the beginning, and I assume that this is the first time we're talking, but I assume that I'm correct. You got your first Emmy when you were 16 years old. Is that right?
That is correct. I was in high school and was able to get a 2-for-1 on my tuxedo for the prom. A true story.
That's terrific. Wow. What does that do? Well, I mean, we'll get into confidence later, but I mean, what does that do for your immediate future? You get an Emmy. Does that immediately put you on the map? I mean, I don't know. You've been an insider for so long, but you get an Emmy. Is there any more explaining that you know what you're doing at that point?
Yeah, the only place to go is down from there. I mean, you peaked at 16 years old. You know, where do you go from? You know, what's funny is, you know, to really backpedal as briefly as I can. My father had this passion to do these documentaries on at-risk youth and incarcerated youth. And he had $1 million budget to make this great film called Desperate Passage, which ultimately starred Michael Landon. And for 4 years, he tried to raise $1 million. And we had a friend with deep pockets who got tired of hearing him beg for money and called us to his house and said, I'm writing you a check. Go make your movie. And the check was for $25,000. So we made the movie for $25,000, and it turned into, well, hey, you shoot camera, you do sound when you're not shooting camera. My dad shot. We had two other cameramen and a sound guy come on with us, and we edited it with a great editor, Dennis Dolan, and that was really a crew of five. And so, you know, it happened by accident, and the film did really well and got 4 Emmy noms and won 2 and kicked off the whole series, which got 33 Emmy noms and won 13 statues for us. You just learn by doing, and you know, it's funny, to go back to your question, you don't think of it that way. I was still in high school, so I was a junior in high school, and I got my first, and then I was nominated again in my senior year, and then I was nominated 2 more times and won again when I was 19 or 18, and you just keep plowing. But, you know, I never thought of it as that. It just, you know, you just keep your head down, and you keep busy, and you get the respect of your peers, and you just, you know, we try to not become a jerk. It's hard when you're that young and you have that kind of success. And, you know, fortunately I had a dad that kept my butt in line and, you know, kept me in my place.
Well, you brought up a good point, because, you know, a kid will score a touchdown and you can't get his head through the door when he's 16 years old. I mean, but an Emmy, I mean, that's like, it's Oscar, Emmy, Tony, you know what I mean, Grammy, you know what I mean? It's an Emmy, right? I mean, are you surrounded at that point by kids, young people who are achieving, or are you kind of a big fish in a small pond?
Well, you know, it's funny. I worked in the film and television business because my family needed my help. It wasn't what I wanted to do. I grew up, you know, I became SAG eligible when I was 9 months old. You know, my dad put me in commercials and was working in the camera department and grip department at 3 and 4 and was running a flatbed in Moviola when I was 7 years old. I didn't want to do it, but I knew how to do it. And what was really funny is I was in a rock band and wanted to race dirt bikes. So it was just kind of like, oh, I got to make some money. All right, I'll go help my dad when he needs me. But my focus was playing in a band. My focus was racing dirt bikes and, you know, getting into girls at that age. So I just was still the kid that hung out on the corner and did the stuff that normal kids do. You know, I wasn't on camera, so I wasn't famous. It was just, oh, yeah, that's a kid that's winning Emmys. And, you know, his parents and him are making these TV shows.
Well, let me remind folks who are just tuning in or just turning on their radio a little late, Frank McKay here, much more importantly, multiple Emmy winner and so many accolades and critical fame, acclaim to his work here. A tremendous resume, a mile long. Shane Stanley, Frank McKay here with the producer and the creator of The Untold Story, which you'll be able to see rolling out in theaters, limited run, but just unbelievable. And also Mistrust is getting rave reviews, and that's on Showtime. That's with Jane Seymour, and just wonderful work. And look up his career. It's terrific. You're in the midst of doing all these different things. Are you a juggler, so to speak? I mean, what do you compartmentalize well, or are you focused on one thing at a time, and you can't think of anything else until that gets done?
Well, you know, you have to learn to diversify your time and your guests when you get to be my age, and you get to when you're an all-encompassing filmmaker. Most of the time for me, Frank, it's from concept to delivery of a product. And that can take sometimes, you know, 18 months to 2 years, not including the time you take to write a script you believe in. That could take several years. And when you do that as an independent filmmaker, you starve, you go broke, and you end up, you know, driving for Uber. So, and I don't make fun of that. Right. I held and have held a lot of odd jobs over the years. I mean, I went from directing an Academy Award winning actor in a film that did very well to literally driving a water truck for 6 months, to producing Gridiron Gang for Sony with Dwayne Johnson, to, you know, going back to doing odd jobs. I mean, it's a crazy business we live in. Yeah. And what I've learned is to put everything you can into everything you do. And when you do get the green light, you have to sell out for it to make it the best it can be. I'm trying to learn to delegate and trust others to pick up the baton. I'm learning that as I enter into my 47th year on this earth, to just not be so micromanaging and to trust and believe and surround yourself with people that you can rely on. And I'm getting better at that. So, you know, I always keep plates spinning. You know, I have the book that came out. I've got Untold Story we just finished and put out. I've got other projects I'm looking forward to doing in the future. So I just can't stand still, because I believe if you stand still in this business, it just marches by so fast. They don't miss a beat, and they certainly don't miss you if you decide to check out.
Well, what about the book? Let's talk about the book, because it's you passing along info, and I'm sure info that you just can't learn, you know, as you say, in film school, or you can't learn, you can't learn anywhere else except from somebody who's actually done it.
Right.
I mean, give us an example of the book. Well, give us the title, where people can get it, and
sure.
And give us a little rundown.
Well, the book is called What You Don't Learn in Film School, and subtitle is The Complete Guide to Independent Filmmaking. And first and foremost, I am not anti-film school. I never went to film school. I'm not against it. I think if you don't have an opportunity to work in an industry because of your family or your connections, you get your butt in school and get in the loop, get circulated, make, you know, relationships that are going to last a lifetime. So I don't want the title to think for a second. I spent a lot of my time in film schools teaching and guest speaking and substituting. I just did a great run at LA Community College, LA Valley College, and Pierce College over the last few weeks of doing a whole bunch with them. So I'm very pro film school. But there are curriculums that are in place that are meant to teach you how to shoot, how to edit, how to run sound, how to, you know, how to do a line item budget, how to write. that is not how to make a movie. That doesn't teach you the forming of an LLC, how to raise independent capital, how to hire the right people for each job, when not to hire your friends, what actors to hire and why not, and when and why, and all the things that come into the business of the business that film schools just do not teach. So what was happening and the way it came about is I had been mentoring and advising and, you know, giving whatever the word is, consulting to independent filmmakers and studio filmmakers alike on how to save money and how to approach things from a different way. And I finally just started taking notes because I said, I got to start writing this down and just shooting back emails because I'm answering the same questions. And each time I get a call, it's a 2-hour discussion. And I'm having these same discussions almost 3 times a month with people. And so I got asked to write a blog for an independent industry outlet that based in Austin and was going into California and Denver and New York. And they read a few of my blogs and I said, why don't you write a book? This is really cool. And God's honest truth, October 31st, Halloween last year, or I'm sorry, 2017, I committed to write the book. By Thanksgiving, I was done, 300 pages.
Wow.
I wrote 300 pages in 5 weeks. I took a week off, 4 weeks. And the book, I sent it to a great editor, Marissa Foglia, who edited it and kept my voice and made me sound like I knew what I was talking about and coherent because I'm really bad with grammar. And that was the book. And it was like, here it is. Boom. It's not rocket surgery. It's just the basic business of the business that you're never going to learn. If you want to go make an independent film from concept to delivery, this is how you do it.
Yeah, it's terrific. And again, it's necessary for people to get it, but to get it from somebody who could properly tell it. Shane Stanley is the voice that you're hearing, Frank McKay here. So much more importantly, the creator of The Untold Story, which you can see it's rolling out in theaters as we speak in limited run. Mistrust on Showtime. And you can see it on Showtime on demand and the wonderful work, Jane Seymour, who's wonderful in everything she does. She's
certainly
tremendous. And Frank McKay here with Shane Stanley, multiple Emmy winner and won one at 16 years old. And that's funny. It's a funny line, but if it's true, it's just amazing that you rented the tux, went to the Emmys, got your Emmy, and went to the prom at the same time.
It was a 2-for-1. I'm not kidding. Norm, good old Norm, I forget his last name, but Calabasas Tuxedo. He gave me a 2-for-1. God bless him. And you had asked where to get the book. You know, of course, you can get it at Amazon. You can get it at BarnesandNoble.com. There are a few. I think it's available on over 40 retailers online. But if you just look up my name and what you don't learn in film school, it'll drive you to where you can get it.
Yeah. So
and it comes to you in paperback.
Everyone buy this book. You know, everyone who's got any interest in filmmaking or the interest in filmmaking, even if you don't want to make a film, it's a fascinating subject. Shane, one of the things I know, that I noticed from watching filmmakers, independent filmmakers, is they always seem to be chasing the buck. You know, I mean, it's constant. It's about fundraising and raising money. I'm sure it gets easier at your level, but is there still an aspect of that where you're constantly thinking budget and you're constantly thinking, you know, where do I get the funding for this?
Every day. I've been very fortunate to work with some tremendous backers that you know, believe in me, believe in my vision, my gifts, my talent, my history. I believe you're only as good as your last film. And every time we make a film, we're auditioning for our next. And it's talked a lot about in my book, Frank, is how to raise independent capital. But the most important thing is it's not about raising capital to get a movie made. It's about developing a relationship that can last a lifetime. Some of our investors have been involved with a dozen films. It's rare we don't work with somebody once, and it's how we go into it. And what our goals are is not to just get a quick buck and fast food and fillet a film and get it out. It's how do we structure a situation or a scenario for an investor that makes sense for their specific portfolio or platform or needs. I mean, investors invest in films for different reasons. Some just have money to burn and they want to rub elbows with Hollywood. Some people do it because they believe in the arts and we're a struggling artist and just want to help give to the art community. And they do it through funding movies. Some people do it because they have a girlfriend. They want to get a part in a movie, and they know she's awful, and the only way to get her in it is to fund a movie. I try to stay away from those. I learned the hard way when I was very young. That's just, you're better off not doing it. Comes with a laundry list of problems.
Sometimes you got to. I guess you could just have to.
Sometimes you got to. I mean, I did it. I mean, you know, I gave a guy a part because his girlfriend had money and she wanted to give him an acting and a producing break. So I get it, you know? Yeah. You know, fortunately, the contract didn't say his part couldn't be cut out. but it's and again, that's one thing I really stress in the book. It's not just about beating the bushes and looking for people with money. That's not what it's about. It's about these lifelong relationships with people that could support and get involved with you, and how to show them their money is being used carefully, wisely, and for a good cause, and how to benefit even if the movie is a complete turkey and doesn't earn a dime. Commercially, there's still ways for investors to benefit because of different tax rules and job acts that have been put in place, that and ways they can run it through companies for advertising a product. I mean, there's a lot of companies and people that own product and businesses that'll finance movies because it's a great advertisement and it has no shelf life. It doesn't expire. Hmm. You know?
Wonderful. I mean, it's all great information, and it's coming from Shane Stanley. If you're just joining us, Frank McKay here with the filmmaker, Emmy Award-winning talent out of LA, and his latest is The Untold Story. Everyone should check this out. Buy his book, and we'll let you know where and what it is, in a little bit here. Mistrust also on Showtime on Demand. You can see Jane Seymour in Shane's film Mistrust. Frank McKay with Shane Stanley. Let me ask you this, again, I've had. Roger, I don't know why. I just have such a fascination with Roger Corman. And
how can you not?
Yeah. I mean, I've had him on the show a couple of times, and
wow.
I'm always blown away by his career and what he's done. And he's made all of these films and given the starts to all of these directors and launched all of these careers. And I don't know. And again, I don't know what the statistics are on it, but I mean, it doesn't seem to lose money on any of these films. I'm sure he has, you know. I'm sure.
Sure.
It has, but he knows how to make money with very little money, and you got to admire his career. Is there anyone that you've modeled yourself after? Is not necessarily content wise, but or skill wise, skill set wise, but more, you know, their career management.
You mean a business model per se?
Yeah.
It's funny you mention Roger. I actually quote him and use him as a shining example in when budgets get out of hand and they unravel. And a lot of people don't know this, and I will get back to answering your question. A lot of people don't realize that Roger Corman was the original producer who was going to make Waterworld. And if you know, Waterworld was the first, I think, $100 or $200 million film that ever got produced by a studio. Yeah. It broke the ceiling. And the joke was Roger Corman had it for a number of years and had several drafts of the script written and finally said, my God, this movie will cost $3 million to make. It's out of control, this budget. He sold the rights to somebody who got it to the studio. So I come from a background where I did these, you know, industrial and documentary films with my family. And then I was very fortunate. I went on to work for Castle Rock and Paramount and Warner Brothers as a youngster, and kind of started over and put my Emmys in the closet, as I say, and worked as a PA and worked as a grunt and as an assistant to the assistant editors and for many years in the sitcom world, because I really wanted to learn a business. And Neil Moritz, who, you know, I did Gridiron Gang with, and he's obviously famous for Fast and the Furious and among other things, he's one of the, you know, most prolific producers in our business. I took a meeting with Neil years ago and I said, what's your secret? He said, learn every aspect of the business you can. He said, he handed me a budget. It was about, you know, 100 pages thick. It had over 400 jobs in it. He said, learn everything you can. And I just went through that budget, Frank, and just checked off jobs. I call friends and camera and say, I need to grip. I need to gaff. I need to do dolly. I need to cater. I need to do table wrangling. I need to do AC. And, you know, I did every job I could, which just made me a better producer because I understood the jobs. I knew what it took to do them, and I knew how long they took to do and how much they cost to do. So I really respected Neil. I really respect Roger Corman. You know, I went on from my junior years to running Charlie Sheen's company for a few years, where I did, you know, a half a dozen, you know, $8 to $12 million films. And then I really got back into the mindset of doing independent film. And then Gridiron Gang came along with a major studio, which was, you know, acquired back in our documentary days, and finally got made. And after going through that, I really missed the independent life of just the intimacy of having control over a show, being able to pick and choose your crew and your cast, being able to get a movie made and not have it in development for 10 years or 5 years. We have a really quick turnaround time. We get a project we're passionate about. We figure out what we can make it for. We raise the money and we make it. And that's kind of the model we do.
Shane, keep your thought. Just let me remind folks that Shane Stanley is our very special guest. Thrilled to have him. A very talented man. And he's been around a long time for a young guy. And just an amazing career, still going strong. The Untold Story is his latest. And we'll talk more about that. Frank McKay here with Shane Stanley.
Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 1039 LI News Radio.
For those who walked away, we want to welcome everyone back to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here. Much more importantly, Shane Stanley is our very special guest, filmmaker, producer, and so much more. Shane, let me get back to The Untold Story. And then I want to touch on a couple of things you were just saying before we quickly broke.
Of course.
The Untold Story, how long from concept to delivery to where we are now with the distribution aspect of it?
Huh. Very interesting story with The Untold Story. I was actually, I'll make it as quick as I can. I was on my way to meet my lawyer, my entertainment lawyer, for lunch in January of 2014. I was done with the industry. I felt I had flayed all the dragons I could flay. I had just come off of, I was hired by a very high profile infomercial company and agency and to do a whole bunch of, you know, infomercials for this new exercise product. And on the set were, you know, soap stars and daytime performers and names of people that we know and don't know. And It was just a day or two of just some of the most rude, ungrateful, entitled I've ever worked with.
Yeah.
And I just said, why am I doing it? This is where the head is of the average, you know, on screen in front of camera talent these days. I'd rather go drive that water truck I used to drive, because at least I had my soul and didn't feel like it was a beat down. So I was on my way to go have lunch with my lawyer and just tell him, hey, I want to close up some things. Let's get the affairs in order. I'm just going to walk away. And I was sitting at an intersection and I looked to my right and there was a well-known actor sitting in his Jaguar. And he looked like his soul had been bought and sold down the river, you know, a dozen times. And I looked at him and I had worked with this guy in a couple of films years ago. And it just broke my heart because I knew where he was psychologically at that time. And I literally raced home and wrote 68 pages of The Untold Story in a day and a half.
Wow.
It all came to me. And I realized there was a story that needed to be told about the forgotten actor, about the guy who once was, who had it all that, you know, everybody turned away from for one reason or another in his personal life and his professional life. And, you know, they don't all end up like Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
And I hit a wall on the script because at the time, you know, I was in my, you know, I was 42, 43 when I wrote it. And I called my dad and I said, I'm writing something. I would love to have your input on this. I'd love to do this with you. And he read where I was on it. And he said, I get it. I know what you're trying to do here. And the problem was, I wasn't 68 years old facing an industry that was done with me. So he came in and really helped polish this thing up, and really we worked together on it for the next several months. He was living in Mexico on his boat at the time. My dad's a yacht guy, so he's always traveling around the world on his boat. So we worked via the internet and satellite phone for about 6 months. Met up a couple times in person when he came to town, and got the script written and got with an investor that we had known and worked with in the past. And it took 6 months to get the script read, just because he's a busy guy. And he finally called me and said, look, I'm not going to read your script. Just pitch me the story. What am I getting involved in here? And I told him the story, and he said, okay, let's do it. It sounds like fun. So it was kind of that fast, but took about a year and a half to get going. And which is fast, I think.
It's fast, right? That's fast.
I mean, you know, Gridiron, Sony acquired Gridiron in 93, and we were rolling film in 2005, wow. You know. So, you know, a year and a half was pretty quick. So, you know, we made the film, and what was funny is we finished the film, we're in post-production on the film, and then the Jane Seymour film came up. And we parked Untold Story for about, oh, I want to say 11 or 12 months, maybe a year, while we stopped everything to go do the Jane Seymour film, just because we had a window and an opportunity. Right. And so, yeah.
No, I'm just going to remind folks of who they're listening to. He's got an amazing story, and he tells amazing stories. Shane Stanley is our very special guest, Frank McKay here, with the author of a wonderful book. And I just don't want to blow the title. It's long. Give me the title again.
It's What You Don't Learn in Film School, The Complete Guide to Independent Filmmaking.
There we go. And it says it all. Everyone should get that, even if you're not filmmaking, if you know anybody filmmaking. But it's just a fascinating read, and it's getting rave reviews, and you can get that in about 40 different retail outlets on the on the net, and of course Barnes and Nobles and Borders and Amazon and everything else. But Shane Stanley is a wonderful filmmaker. His latest is The Untold Story, and also recently Jane Seymour is in Mistrust, and that's getting rave reviews on Showtime. Go on Showtime on demand. Frank McKay here with multiple Emmy Award winner Shane Stanley. And so much is going on and has gone on in your career. I can't even think of giving it all up. I mean, it's like Chappelle-like, you know, Chappelle, everything was going so well for him. And he just, you know, like, oh, I'm sick of this or whatever. And he just, you know, moved to Africa for a year or something like that. He's the greatest comedian with the greatest show on TV. And he just decides to do it. But yeah, I mean, there's more, obviously, there's more to it than that. It has to get frustrating. It has to, be hard when you know what you're doing and you've had this kind of success. At 16 years old, you had an Emmy. And you've had all of this success. You're still having success. But it has to be frustrating to come to a situation where you have a vision in your mind. And you know, other people just aren't getting it or can't
sure.
grasp it or don't want to get it. What's the most frustrating out of those three things I mentioned? People not wanting to get it or the other two?
What were the other two? I'm just kidding. I had to make sure you were paying attention. You know, it's funny. It's never easy. I mean, obviously, you look at the tremendous success. Damien Chazelle, who, of course, did La La Land. You've got Spielberg and Scorsese, who for their whole career can do what they want. Doesn't always mean they had the biggest of the biggest hits, but they were constantly working. And the one thing that I always try to do, Frank, is I try to stay working. My films don't have red carpet events that shut down L.A. Boulevard every other year. They're not cracking the top 10 at the box office. I make very small, intimate films that have most of their success in other countries or in little pockets that you know, I'm happier making films for a dime that make back a dollar. And I found a way, and I say this to encourage a lot of your listeners, and what I talk about in the book is there is no excuse not to go make your passion and make your movies. I mean, for $1,500, you can go get a DSLR camera that shoots at 24p at 4K and get a sound guy. And all you need is a camera and a subject, and the rest will fall into place. And that's kind of the model I've used over the last decade is give me a camera, give me a subject, and everything else will find its place. And, you know, love what you shoot, shoot what you love. And the rest will just happen. And I just get to a point in my life where I believe in something and I say, you know, I have to make this. And I go to my financial resources and they either get on board or they don't. And then if they don't, I take a step back and I say, is my mother used to say to me when I have to have something at a store, she's, do you need this? Yes. Can you live without it? No. Are you sure? Yes. If those are the boxes I check in a project, I figure out a way to make it. It doesn't matter what the budget is. It's just get it done. And I found some of the most fulfilling, successful projects I've had have had very limited, if any, budgets on them at all. You know, so I just don't take no as an option when I'm passionate about something. It's got to get done.
Once again, Shane Stanley is the voice that you're hearing, Frank McKay here, with the author, filmmaker, and so much more, multiple Emmy Award winner. Shane Stanley is our very special guest. Frank McKay with Shane right now. You mentioned Scorsese, you mentioned Spielberg. Obviously, we know they're one of a kind, but you said, you know, these are the guys, they could do anything they want, they could make anything they want. How many of them are there? And again, with all due respect to them, that they're one of a kind,
sure,
each.
They are.
If you had to quantify how many of those guys are there 20? Are there 50?
Oh, no. No, I 15? Think you got Christopher Nolan. I think you've got your Spielbergs, your Scorsese's. You've got, I think, Damien Chazelle's at that point in his life. If I said his name right, if I didn't, forgive me. Yeah. James Wan was there. I mean, it's lean and mean, and these are guys that were able to get, you know, between 5 and 100 million or 50 million. Let's say five
James
and 50
Cameron
million.
Maybe is in there. James.
Of course, I mean, my God, he's in a whole different. You know, he's sold out to Avatar for the next. Yeah. Chapter of his life, and right. that's just a whole anomaly. But I, you know, there are those guys that are just, they crank out, they're just amazing at what they do. They have the studio and the general population under their command, and I say that with all due respect.
Sure.
And they, you know, they're the ones who, as I like to say, the film schools pride themselves on to feed on your hopes and dreams. That's why they can charge six figures a year to have you go and to, you know, I'm a big proponent of the community colleges. The big dollar universities, I'm not so much a fan of, because I think you can still learn the same things with spending, you know, a couple hundred dollars a credit versus, you know, $100,000 a year.
You know, go ahead.
No, I hire a lot of these kids when we make movies. And of course, there are the exceptions. I never say it's always the same, but you know, we get kids from USC, Chapman, UCLA, LACC, Pierce, and I tell you that the kids that I enjoy the most are the ones that came from the smaller schools that really had to value every bit of information they were given and every lesson they were taught because they weren't given or granted anything. So, you know.
I mean,
go ahead.
Without using the word money or finances, what must you have in you in order to be an independent filmmaker? Because your ego must take a beating constantly. it is not for the
every day,
not for the faint of heart. It is, you know, you're putting your ego on the line every day, your
sure.
pride on the line,
sure.
and you're getting the crap beat out of you, and hopefully you're coming, you know, away with a vision. But what must you have in order to do well as an independent filmmaker?
You have to have passion first, and you have to have determination, and you have to have a thick skin and not let the bastards get you down. You know, look, I you know, I don't put a whole lot into critics. They are who they are, and God bless them. Look, I could go to a sold out screening of Untold Story and get a standing ovation, and people don't even know I'm in the audience. Happened in Miami a few months ago. It wasn't a dry eye in the house. And then the LA Times comes and says, the Untold Story is better off not told. Okay.
Oh,
you know,
God.
I don't care. Yeah. Does it hurt? Well, I would have appreciated something to say, you know, and they did find a few redemptive things to say about the film, but I, you know, I've gotten to the point in my life where some of my less commercial, less embraced films are the ones that touch the most audiences and get the most success. And I don't just mean dollar success. I just mean, so you have to, as a filmmaker, have a very thick skin. You have to be ready to put it all out there and be told you're no good or you're crap, or you have to expect when you make offers to actors that you think are perfect for your movie that they want nothing to do with you or won't respond at all. And sometimes when you have a resume that's not short, it hurts a little more. I'm not going to lie. There are times you reach out to actors and you would expect the courtesy from their agency to say it's a respectful pass, not for them. Yeah. Sometimes they just don't even reply. Yeah. Okay. You just, you know, it's life.
Let me just address like the LA Times. It is the easiest thing in the world to be a critic. I mean, it is so It is so simple. Well, I have three sons. I'm counting out my daughter. Three sons and a daughter. And I said one of them was and I'm not going to single him out, but he was offered a job in newsprint. And I said, I said, look, if you have to do it for a little while, do it. But it's a business that's going out of business. And the thing is, you're going to eventually be there to criticize something that's someone who's doing something. And you're going to criticize them. Why don't you just do something yourself? And I kind of talked them out of taking this job, but I can't wait till the print media goes out of business because it is the easiest. It is the easiest thing in the world to sit there and criticize a filmmaker when you've never made a film, when you've never thought about making a film, you've never, well, maybe you thought about it and you dreamt it. I'm telling you, it's the easiest thing in the world to be a critic, and I just can't stand it. And one other point, I don't know anything about this guy, and I don't know anything about his work. I'm not a fan of his, but I ran into Jamie Kennedy somewhere at a party. And he made a film that I saw that I thought was important. It was called Heckler. And he got silly in it. He did some stuff. But it was a documentary on the criticism that comes from people in their parents' basement and people doing whatever podcast or whatever. But yep, I told him, yep. I said, I'll tell you what, it's an important film. And again, I'm not saying he made it the best way and I don't want to criticize him.
No,
but
let's not criticize it, right?
Yeah, yeah. But it's called Heckler is what it's called.
Heckler. I'm writing that down. I'm gonna check it out.
I loved it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but go ahead.
I got a comment on something, if I may, that I read this morning. I follow a blogger, a screenwriter, a super talented guy by the name of CJ Wally. He's from England and he runs a couple of really cool things. He runs a really successful website for independent writers called Script Revolution. If your readers or your listeners want to hear it, he posted something on Facebook this morning that I found fascinating. And it's exactly what you said. He said in 2013, a blacklist reader marked down my first ever script because I chose to set it in the desert of East LA. This morning, I learned my producer has secured a location less than 1 hour from my original vision. Don't let anyone kill your dreams.
That's great.
My response to his blog was,
hold on, we're losing you. Hold on. You're underwater.
Am I underwater?
Yeah, here you go. You're good. You're good now.
Do you need me to tell that over? Or are we good?
No. You're good. You're good. Go.
Yeah, and my thought was exactly what you said. It's like, is this guy still squashing hopes and dreams of aspiring artists from his mother's basement? I mean, who is this guy?
Right.
Like, I find that some of the meanest, nastiest critics are those who never had the huevos to step up to the plate and swing the bat, or just failed, or whatever. And it's like, all these nothing but opinion. Everybody's got one. And they're entitled, but it's so. What going back to your question, you can't let people's opposition or adversity to your vision or what you're trying to do get you down. You just got to keep going. You got to keep going, and you just hopefully you learn from everyone. I do. I learn every day. Every day I come off a set after directing or producing or whatever I did, I always thought, I could have done this differently. I should have done this better. And you just take it and learn and build. That's all it is. It's constantly getting better at what you do. It's a craft that you're always honing and always perfecting.
Well, listen, the career you've had, 99.9% of the people trying to make it in this business would die to have your career. And
thank you.
And you got wonderful talent. You got vision. You're a visionary. Shane Stanley is our very special guest, and he has been our very special guest, and he's been generous with his time here. The Untold Story is wonderful. Everyone, check it out. It is coming, rolling out in a limited edition, but check it out. Also, check out Mistrust. And check out all those films, but Mistrust on Showtime, On Demand. Jane Seymour's in that, and she's wonderful. But this guy is a very talented man. He got his first Emmy at 16 years old, and just a super talent with a huge career behind him, ahead of him, and currently in front of him. Thrilled to have you. Give us a website or a social media site where people could check out what you're doing and kind of follow what you're doing.
God, I wish. Thank you for that. I wish I was better. If you want to check out the book, I always say go to whatyoudon'tlearninfilmschool.com. I know that's a mouthful and a typeful. Whatyoudon'tlearninfilmschool.com. We try to keep it updated. It's pretty much direct for the book, and people that have endorsed it that range from, you know, Jeff Sagansky, who was the president of Sony Pictures and CBS, to Neil Moritz, to Jane Seymour. It's got a lot of great endorsements and just some interesting behind the scenes on that. I also have ShaneStanley.net. I'm horrible at keeping it updated. Forgive me. I am doing my best to remember to do that and will commit to do it. You know, and on social media, I'm not much of a Twitter guy, but it's just Shane Stanley on Twitter. And then I'm looking this up, forgive me, on Instagram, which I am trying to be better, is my Instagram is Official Shane Stanley. So it's Instagram, Official Shane Stanley. And Facebook, you could find my media page there as well, which is Shane Stanley Official on Facebook.
Listen, congratulations on all the success. Good luck on all the future. And The Untold Story is out, Mistrust is out, and a long laundry list of other work that is just wonderful. Shane, thanks for being here.
Frank, it was an honor. Thank you for having me, and thank you for your listeners for giving me their time. It's been my pleasure. I hope we can do it again.
Yes, we need a part two, but listen, right back at you. And I want to thank everyone for tuning in. Shane Stanley is just a wonderful filmmaker, producer, and you know his work from TV and film. And he won an Emmy at 16 years old, and he's never disappointed since. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you all next time on Breaking It Down.